is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday and I have Aaron Green with me and we are doing a joint venture because we needed 2 hours to have a discussion. And just now, Aaron was saying something about a census that UB did with, I let her do all of that information. But I'm kind of uneasy and I'm a person that who supports the effort. But everything seems to be crafted, and I'm trying to glean some information from Erin, so I'm going to let her speak now about this marital rape census that was done.
But really, what it was I wondered, if I had missed it, did the Prime Minister address human rights issues, gender equality, the marital rape discussion, and citizenship issues that are tied to the gender equality issue? Did he address any of those in his national address last night?
I didn't hear it.
I don't think so. I may have missed it, but I don't think so. I found that interesting, particularly when I saw, or at least when I saw this headline in today's Tribune. One of the commonplace responses from men in particular, but also women in the marital rape discussion was, where's the evidence that wives are actually being raped? Right?
Yes.
That's like the people were saying, I'm not going to tolerate this conversation. It can't go any further until you prove to me that wives are actually being raped. I thought that was a bit ridiculous to say that, right? Like, mm-hmm. We can't talk about it because you can't even prove to me that wives are being raped. Well, what's the burden of proof? If marital rape is not a criminal offense, then what's the burden of proof? And so to see a study, right? So to see that people are now doing studies and attempting to gather some of the figures, you know, some of the stats.
And I would like to know more of the questions that was asked. Out of this number, and you're going to remind us of the number again, how many of these women are still with their husbands? Are they still there, happily married, despite saying that, knowing that they were abused by their husbands? Because I want to know the details. It just seems as if it was flippantly addressed, and then they don't care about providing details to us. I would like to know more.
I think the research would have been conducted by Mr. Fielding, William Fielding, who's been engaged in lots of research at the university on matters related to violence, gun violence, the status of the prison. And so I don't think it was a rinky-dink study.
It's a university, yeah.
Right, but I think that the university could do us a solid,
yes,
right,
mm-hmm,
by engaging a series of discussions about the research, right? So you've done the research. Help us understand the research, right?
Mm-hmm.
Help us understand the details. So, for example, the article says, between mid-September and mid-October of this year, some students at the university collected data from 1,700 women. Of this number, 455 were married and were asked about their experiences of rape and sexual abuse in their current relationships.
So say it again. I didn't understand that. Right. How many women and how many were married?
So 1,700 women.
Yeah.
Of this number, 455 were married.
So I'm trying to do the math here. That's like 30% of them were actually married.
Yeah.
But they're talking about women who were married. Man, Aaron.
No.
This is supposed to be only women who married.
Why?
Because it's marital rape. Or it's not marital rape anymore.
Well, we don't know that. I just picked up the paper. The study itself may not be specifically about marital rape. It may be about sexual violence in relationships.
Oh.
Right? And so, you know, we have a common law practice here, common law marriage practice here, where people aren't married. And it's a cultural practice.
Yes.
In some instances, it's really good. In some instances, it's very dangerous, where, you know, just a mere social commitment not a spiritual, not a religious commitment, not a legal commitment, but me and you say we go in and now we act as if we are bound by the rules of marriage,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it may just be a study on sexual violence in relationships.
And I'll put it to you that our dating, our social intercourse in terms of how we date and relate to each other is a violent type of way. We are a violent society. We are culturally violent. So what one would say, man, this is a violent act against us, right, would be women, behemoth women and men interacting to each other culturally, aggressively, and not necessarily, my one is aggressive is the same as violent.
Well, it is, right? When we look at the definitions of violence, aggression is violence. It is a form of violence. But we live in a culture sort of where we don't see anything outside of physical violence, physical touch, physical aggression as violence and bullying. But the truth is that we are very aggressive, passive-aggressive society. And the way that violence plays out here in interpersonal relationships, in families, in communities, in schools, in workplaces, is not on the surface, right? It's not aggressive, it's passive aggressive. And there's a bullying that takes place. And so, you know, and we walk, right, I didn't hit you.
But what about those inner city women who describe a particular type of man? I don't want a soft man. I want a man who I can't run over. See, that's just the definition of I want a man who I cannot run over means they want a physical man. No, that's not the same meaning?
I mean, it could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Doesn't mean that.
Your QC-ness show now. I'm thinking inner city, and they said, man, I tell him I'm going out now, and he didn't say anything. That means he doesn't love me, right? Because I expect him to say, no, I can't go. And that is now a turn on.
But okay, there's a thin line because we expect our partners to express interest in where we go in, concern about our safety where we go in, right? So to say that he don't stop me from going means he don't love me is different from saying he didn't ask any questions, he didn't ask where I was going, who I was going with, when I was coming back, do I have a security plan? Do I think I'm going to need a designated driver? Who else is coming with us? Those are reasonable questions in a relationship.
And someone said, that's a girly man that you are married to or dating. And I don't want that in my life. I need a man who would say, grab me up and physically say, I cannot move. And that is love for me.
No, and I think that we're looking at some instances of poor articulation, right? Mm-hmm. Like a woman is saying that. It's like a big woman who would say, look here, I like a man who could manhandle me. Really what she means is like, I's a big gal. And I like a man who could pick me up and put me on the bed.
That's what you think that meant? Manhandle me?
Poor articulation of what they really want. And when I say poor articulation, it's like the only men who treat me, who pick me up, are men who pick me up when they are being physically aggressive and or abusive. I want to get picked up. I like that feeling of being picked up. Right, and that could relate to the last memory of my father, right? Or the most poignant memory of my father is when he used to pick me up and swing me around, and there's something intertwined in there. I think there's a poor articulation of needs and wants and expectations. And so it's like I had this rule where I would say to love interests, are you looking for physical, emotional, or sexual intimacy? Because some people don't realize that you could have emotional intimacy without sexual intimacy. They don't see the two as separate, and so they are always asking for sexual intimacy when what it is they really want and desire is an emotional intimacy. And that's what I mean when I say poor articulation, right? I think that that we conflate two things and don't realize that I could get A without the B.
Mm.
You know, I could get that that physical pick me up and toss me on the bed without it actually being a, like after a fight, right? And so sometimes the trauma, but because we have not processed the trauma, it becomes intertwined with our desires, right? And so you tie that being picked up. You only ever experience that when he's being physically aggressive in a violent way. Mm-hmm. And so you conflate the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, these things are happening. Mm-hmm. And but the point is this, Cecil, that it's not just for me and you to sit here on a panel and say that that's what people are feeling. It's to bring these conversations to the people and give them an opportunity to say that, to say, listen, yeah, I like when my man, look at me, I 195 pounds. I like when my man has picked me up and thrown me against the wall. It makes me feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You're right. We's only ever do that like after we fight and then we make him back up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where are the spaces where people could have these conversations? And come to these realizations that, yeah, I want this, but I don't have to take that to get it.
And perhaps that's the issue. Perhaps that's the issue because there's a disconnect. And the persons who are promoting or who see the need for this marital rape law hasn't done the best job of explaining how the violence come in. Because you did fairly well where I can say, okay, I see it. I see it. It just seems as if their social dynamics is completely different from an inner city social dynamics.
Right. The language is different.
The language is different.
The way that you engage, the conversation is different. Everything, you know?
So when they say they can't fathom being a husband being raping them because they how they looked at lovemaking is more aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you describe a particular aggression, they said, no, man, that's normal. What you talking about? Your man's supposed to choke you, you know, before the act. He's supposed to spank you before the act. And what you're describing seems as if you're trying to take my way of lovemaking from me.
Yeah.
Right? And no one has defined that, no, what I'm talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is hate and contempt and spiteful, right?
Yeah.
And you have no choice. And this is why the disconnect is there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that happened when we sort of changed the way that we were talking about marital rape is that we realized that a large percentage of men were not saying marital rape doesn't exist. That's not what they were saying. They were saying, we don't think it should be criminalized in this way, right? Which is different from it doesn't exist. So now we could actually talk about it because we both acknowledged that it exists.
And I hasten to say, there are, and I remember I had a phone call on my show where they said the term is rape, so there'll be no watering down of the term.
Right.
And you mentioned that some of the objection is that the term is offensive.
Right.
Right? They're willing to accept a different term and put it on the books, but the term rape is, they cannot comprehend or accept.
Because marriage cannot tolerate rape. Like we all accept, I think that, and that's what's not being said, we all accept that marriages cannot tolerate rape. So if you call it rape, then the marriage must automatically be over.
Yes.
And people are working from a space of wanting to attempt to preserve the marriage. But that's a one-on-one basis. That's a determination that can only be made by the people in the marriage. Now, Cecil, we got a ton of texts.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's start here. The text says, the Prime Minister saying, my fellow Bahamians gave me flashbacks to the last PM's address, and I think I have PTSD. Another text. I beg your indulgence. I know you're on another topic. As it relates to the 50th anniversary celebrations, I truly feel that input ought to be received from the public. That's your position across the board. My nursing class will be celebrating 50 years of nursing, having been the first nursing class in an independent
Bahamas.
They got to be. Do you know how many
part
babies?
Of that celebration.
How many new Bahamas babies this class would have, right?
Yes.
That they would have brought into the world. I've tried to reach out to relevant sources, but no response. We truly feel that we ought to be a part of these celebrations.
You should be.
Honorable Leslie Miller Bryce. Anybody on the independent secretariat, reach out to them. They are responsible. They bring in, where's John Boswick II? John Boswick II will
yes,
tell you.
He is passionate about this.
Right.
Eh?
They have, this group of nurses have heralded in the born free generation.
Yes.
They got to be a part of it. Thank you, Texter. No problem going off subject. Morning, Aaron. They will spend the carbon credit proceeds on paying off cronies if you don't force them to spend wisely. Thank you, Texter. Okay. Great show as usual. Our dating and interpersonal relationships and dynamics are messed up. If a man buys a woman 4 drinks to a bar, as far as the man thinks they are going or in a relationship.
And the women think that also. It's not just men. They said, okay, he is the supplier of drinks. I going home with this one.
There's a very interesting dynamic. We see it in the United States of America where young men are demanding sexual intimacies just for buying a woman a lunch or, you know, taking her out on a date. I watched a video where the man made her walk home from the date. He refused to drop her back home because she said she wasn't going to be intimate with him on the first date.
But then again, we're going to another commercial? No, the commercial caller.
Yeah.
But there are some women who are taken on vacations, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they claim. They
call it the new boat culture.
You know, well, I would assume if I see you call, we're going to come to your radio right now. But I assume if I invited you on to Miami,
yeah,
to be inside the same hotel room and it's a king-size bed, you know something happening.
Buddy, I call in the hotel and asking them, where's my separate room? From you say one room, I booking in another hotel on another island.
There you go. But anyway, let's go to the caller. Thank you for calling. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm Nuri.
Go ahead. You're echoing.
Now, let me ask you something. When you're going to put choking and spanking within the lovemaking, right? Then all the affection gone because you got to feel and squeeze and rub and stuff like that.
Brayman, turn off your radio. You said that twice.
Okay.
You there?
You
going?
Got me?
Yeah, I get you now.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, right, anytime you got to choke and spank and stuff like that, there are no affection in that. Affection is squeezing and loving and, you know, and rubbing and stuff like that.
Long and short, Brim, you have a different generation. What I do in my bedroom is different from yours.
Okay,
thanks very much for calling, by the way. And I want to mention in cricket, is another caller?
Yeah.
Let's go straight to the caller then. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you doing?
Blessings to you, man.
Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Tell mommy I say hello, man.
Yes, sir.
She was good. P.S. See, I don't want to speak about this marital rape nonsense, man. I dare say it. I got 6 girls. But I want to speak to some of the sound bites that you guys were speaking to up this morning. And one thing I give with the Davis Cools for, mm-hmm, so old Biden them being bringing nobody in this country. We can't take care of our own people. Mm-hmm. See, this is the kind of leaders I need, strong leaders. Don't go to say the nasty things, signing these things, and the people ain't on your side. You don't do them kind of things. Sensible country don't do them kind of things. See, and I hope when they build this hospital, they have helicopter land and partners. See, we spend our money, build it properly, man. Don't shortcut us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely right, because here I am, a little bougie QC Nasuvian. I hadn't even thought about the need for family island transportation. They got to have the helipad on the hospital.
Who's going to be paying for it?
Exactly, man. See?
You, Cecil? Me and you.
What happened to it, Aaron?
Yeah.
What killing our country? When we send you guys to colleges, and you're waiting to come and go to education, you know the dumbest baby talking to y'all? Too old, qualified. All a bunch of nonsense, man. We need to, it's Moses Crew. We need to get rid of them, you know. By 20, mm-hmm, we need to get rid of all of them because they're killing this country.
And
time to take my call, by the way.
Yeah, pleasure, man.
And it's not a matter of
go ahead.
It's not a matter of pushing them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You make them obsolete, or you make whatever system that they demand stay in place obsolete, right? And the way that young professionals can do that is by starting professional associations.
Nice.
And journals. Document what you know. let the public know what you know, as opposed to letting the government play with the space by hiring appointees that have to be fired every 5 years. You make that old system obsolete by putting in a new system.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I also like quicken to say that the theater troops of the Bahamas has a year of Bahamian theater as celebration for the independence, 50th independence, yeah, which is separate and independent from what the government is doing,
yeah,
right? From October 2022 to October 2023, anniversary of independence, they have a list of the plays that they plan to put on. But I don't know if this is government sanctioned. I'm not sure.
Don't need to be.
But government needs to give them some money. We borrowed $11 million to make sure this happens.
Not just does government have to give them some money. Government need to pay them out and a bonus. That's how they do it in the web shop. Because after the deputy prime minister made that faux pas on the international
stage. You think he made a faux pas? It was a purposeful statement.
To do what?
To say what he said.
But for what purpose? To stoke who?
One must understand that he is not the Minister of Culture. He is the Minister of Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And his program was to boost tourism and how he can have a tourism draw here. So I don't fault him. The problem is that Ministry of Culture is not doing enough to promote local culture and then tie that on to tourism. And that's what the issue is. What he said wasn't wrong. What the problem is that there is no advocate for culture.
There is an advocate for culture.
Who's an advocate for culture?
It used to be me, but they don't invite me to these meetings anymore.
Yeah, you don't get invited to
places. The first thing I told Food Fest was the International Cultural Food, they're now the Food and Wine Festival, is that, look, if Food Fest is happening in the same time as it's a UNESCO event, right? If it's happening at the same time as World Food Day, and then look at the budgets, the difference in the budget between agriculture and tourism, then surely tourism can partner with this. And so that you have a local food display at your Food Fest, which is also driven, is tourist driven, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that your tourism dollars support and reinforce and enhance the work of smaller ministries with tinier budgets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is possible. This is easy talk.
Yeah. But then we have another phone call.
Yeah, and then a ton of texts. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, man.
Aaron, I say, guys, I include you in that from the Bible perspective. The Bible say, all man, that means woman and man.
Yeah, man, that's a gender-neutral term. That's what the bank say. All you guys owe me money.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, two times I'm interested in the prime minister's speech because I'm from a business perspective here. I believe in the investors. I believe in the carbon. How much I'll bring to my pool of investment. The prime minister talk about new entrepreneur during this time. I am interested in expanding that area of it. So economically, I'm wondering, how that share would profit me. And I think you and Aaron need to bring on, or do we need new experts to come in and talk about that carbon exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I really want to. One of the things you already mentioned in the business section, and I see no one is commenting on it that much, that just the dividend that is going to bring, and he said new entrepreneur that is going to bring to the market, or new expansion like myself and others who are interested in expanding and the shareholders interest of it. So hopefully, Aaron and Yuri, between you and I, challenge your guests to a show on that. Bring in the experts. You've got to go outside and bring them in regionally or really. Yes, talk about that, because from a business perspective, we don't focus that much on business. I'm a mm-hmm. businessman too. You all don't know that. You all just think I'm a just talker all day. So I want that perspective as much as possible. So y'all got a lot of work to do.
Absolutely.
And they're talking about babies all day and getting into people's sexual business bedroom. I don't know about it getting my bedroom business. What I do in my bedroom is truly a Marvin Gaye affair, not nobody else affair.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. I thought you was going to say an Al Green affair because somebody threw hot grits on somebody in the private bedroom. I don't think that could wake out the way you think that could wake out Pumpkin either. The Prime Minister's statements about the He did speak about the economy. I don't know if he necessarily addressed it from a businessman's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not the time to delve into that. But here's what concerns me about this carbon credit space. We have a housing crisis.
Yes.
Now, the Prime Minister, at the top of his presentation, mentioned a number of crises we were experiencing at the time, but he did not include, as far as I know, he did not include housing in that list. Now, that, for me, is very problematic because this ties directly to the carbon credits discussion. Maybe not blue carbon credits, but definitely green carbon credits. We're experiencing a housing crisis, and people who are unhoused are currently demanding that something be done because it appears as if a large percentage of the housing inventory is being dedicated to Airbnb potential, Airbnb options, right? This means that your prime or your best housing is now being saved for people who don't live here, aren't going to live here, and very minimally contribute to the national development. What happens now when the government decides that it is going to retain large pieces of prime land for the purpose of generating green carbon credits, knowing that we have a housing crisis, knowing that we have a fairly unregulated Airbnb market, right? Quote unquote Airbnb market, the broad industry. What's the government going to do, and how do we ensure that there's a proper balance, right? Because I right now, I got one piece of bush, I'm ready to turn that into a green carbon credit generating machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know where I could cash out my carbon credits.
I see everyone's trying to claim this carbon credits as some kind of dividends that they get. But it's clearly the Prime Minister explained where the money is going. It's going to reinvest in protecting the Bahamas in the long term in terms of making sure that we have the tools and the equipment to protect the environment. So it's no cash money to invest
in
person.
I don't like this at all. I mean, I might as well have just been a scammer. I mean,
I see you mention housing crisis, right?
Yeah.
I just happened to listen to an interview with Franin Wilson from AWAC Homes, mm-hmm. who quoted, cited a number. He said, for a two-bedroom house, and I want you to picture this. This is a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house. They, AWAC Homes, will bill it for the minimum of $180,000.
How much do you think the second bathroom can cost?
I don't know. That's another $30,000 easy, right? And because I remember I had a porch and they cited $30,000 for a porch, and that was just extension.
Hold on, $30,000
U.S. dollars. And then they had a private contractor on, right, who said that the cheapest he can go, right, is for the same size house is $130,000, two bedroom house, right? And he doing size here or whatever it is to fashion it and manipulate space. And I'm thinking, that ain't no small bit of money, $130,000 to $180,000, but not for no three bedroom house, you know.
And then
this is a two bedroom house within a housing crisis where people need homes
and with only one toilet.
You know. And this is going to be like a 25-year mortgage, you know. You'll be in this two-bedroom house for 25 years with your children them. You know, that's a crisis.
I might as well just grow a tree to live in.
That's a crisis. That's a crisis we're living in. And so I appreciate the government's rent-to-own concept. And I'm thinking now, is this rent-to-own means that the government borrow the $120,000 to $180,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bill it. For the person who's renting this house, do they come up with first and last month rent, or they just start paying the rent? And when do they pay this off? Because it can't be the 25 years, because 25 years is when you pay $10,000 on it. So if you ain't paying no down payment, you invested in it, right?
Right.
And you have to be over a period of time you pay in rent that you get up to $10,000. One would assume that this would be a 50-year payment plan in order to own.
In fact, I don't even want you to call it rent-to-own, because rent-to-own policies, you tend to end up paying anywhere from 4 to 10 times more than the thing actually costs.
But no one's explaining this.
And my government is not that type of gangster. You not in a usury is against the law. I mean, these things are, the government, you not allowed to enslave people economically. I mean, your friends may be able to do it, but not you.
And I'm quickened. Hasten to say that imagine those. We had a number of people who foreclosed during the mortgage crisis from the Mortgage Corporation, and they still in their arrear. And we have a history or a narrative of persons who rent government apartments who can't pay the $30 per month. They always defaulted. And I'm picturing this rent to own with that problem historically. That's just being part of the narrative. What will happen to these houses, new houses we borrow money to build, to empower these behemoths? What if they stop paying? Do we put them out? Mm-hmm. But surely we can't put people out of their homes. That's the government is not into that. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, what are the checks and balances? And no one is explaining or say, this is the checks and balances in case it doesn't work out.
And what's the maintenance program, right? Like, if you're going to do a rent-to-own program, then what you have acknowledged is that these people economically don't qualify. They don't meet the bank's criteria, right, for monthly payments and income. So you surely you're going to have a maintenance program because they don't own the homes outright, right? So no. There should be some obligation to adhere to some set of rules.
They have to be a landlord.
Right? There has to be a mandatory maintenance program because they're renting to own for 10 years and they leave the house in a deplorable state. And now you have this loss of rent, right? They've left because of lack of payment. You got that loss of rent. Plus, you have the money required to return the building to the state. First of all, it's a basic standard for living, for occupancy. Mm-hmm. But then to its prior original state, that's going to cost extra money. I think that we're going to continue to drag Bahamians into a future that they are not prepared for and that we ourselves barely understand for the sake of status and looking like we've achieved something. If the people don't know how to use the bathroom, right? The proper indoor bathroom. Then you continue to have outdoor bathroom facilities available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
You just do that. So I got a bunch of texts here.
Go through the text,
Mr. Newry. All right. CA. You always talk in negativity against Bahamians. They said this in all caps.
Yeah.
44 years of living, I've never seen violence like this until the influx of illegal immigrants mixing with Bahamians. We are not a violent race. In fact, they call us conks because we'd rather not fight back, but those days are done.
That person is mixed up because conks means something different.
Yeah.
But mind you, we are all Africans. Right, yeah. The majority, the 70-80% of us are all Africans. So this, when you spin that mix up, saying that mix up of ethnic groups, when we already one ethnic group, right? That narrative don't make no sense to me.
Because they're talking about nationality, not ethnicity.
And then I'm quickened to say that majority of the persons here has been cultured and brought up in the Bahamas to understand the culture of what it is. So if there is any violence by a particular grouping, then we are responsible for not socializing them properly. Because they went to our schools, they went to our churches, they went to our jobs. We are responsible for socializing them.
Right, they went to our chicken shack, everything, to our bars.
Yeah.
But I think what it is culturally is this. It's very simple. In the Bahamas, we solve problems with money. That's it. Every single governance problem has been solved with money. Personal problems solved with money. Right?
And I can't hear you.
As the money disappears, our ability to resolve our personal problems diminish.
And I see I have a caller, but I want to bring Ian, because Ian finally arrived, right, late. But I want to hear a summary of your the Prime Minister's speech in your words, and then we go straight to the caller, so I let the caller know that I come into you. Go ahead, Ian.
I think that the Prime Minister has...
Right, you got to speak right into it, just okay. Like that, yeah.
I'm listening to the Prime Minister's speech last night,
and
I'm just thinking. I'm trying to think what is the direction of our country, and by us doing this, I see the salaries were raised to 260. The private sector is already crying. They're saying that personally, if this happens, though, if you're forcing this down our throats in a sense, right? How could we survive or stay afloat because there are some businesses that are really doing well, but and there are some just floating.
I almost answer you like you was one of those private businesses that really looking at us like you have to suffer so that
no, the ones are we talking about the ones that are not floating? Because we have to bear in mind there are businesses that open, but they're just basically floating.
Yeah, but why are they just floating? What is it that they sell in? Why is it that they're just floating? Are they just floating because the minimum wage is going up? Are they just floating because of the electricity? Or are they just floating
because
they don't have a solid business plan for this environment?
But you said the nail, you put the nail in the hammer. Like, you did it when you said that the Bahamians believe that we are solving problems based on our financial positions. The reality is, in order for us to put ourselves in a better position, we need thinkers. This is when we had the conversation. I said to you that the imagination is the new currency, because cash, people, we can find people with cash all over the world. But can you find the people with the creative ideas that is going to revolutionize the way we think and the way the things that we use in our country? That's different. Like, you're an intellectual. So we have persons that are sitting down in offices and so forth are giving advice. And can they come up with the solutions that you and yourself and CA can come up with?
Yeah.
You see my point?
And that's it. You promised to call
her. Yeah, I promised to call her. So let's go back to call her. Let me go back to Ian and Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me, caller?
I want to say a special good morning to both of you.
Good morning, man, Graham. How are you doing?
And we need the critical thinkers, not just the suit and tie personnel who have us over $10 billion in debt. And if they had a clue on how to help poor people, well, I think after 49 years, the poor would have already been helped. One way of thinking is, if you were to increase the minimum wage, people would have a little bit more disposable income. And so the struggling businesses may find that people are spending a little bit more with them, lifting them up ever so slightly. But the sad reality is, and that's a suit and tie way of thinking. Sad reality is the electricity bill is something that you cannot account for or anticipate. We'll be turning off our air conditioners now and putting on our water heaters more. And I tell you, the water heater burns more than the air condition. So in a country whose largest natural resource is the sun, undisputed, we can burn fossil fuel to run a generator to heat water. Now, that's when you're rich. I ain't never seen no poor country do that. And we also can do many other things, like buy bottled water. In poor countries, they drink out of stream. So it is so sad that for, I guess, almost 25 years, and I'll wrap up with this, I've been struggling to get the light bills down using solar for our citizens, because I knew this day would come, and now it's here. And carbon credits aren't just some mangroves that you don't disturb. Carbon credits are, Germany can put the solar panels on your house at no cost to you, because the fuel you don't burn for electricity, they will get the credit back in Germany. And it goes deeper than that. But one day we'll have the energy security discussion, and we may even get an energy czar. I offer myself, but only for 1 year, because I'd like to retire. Good show, guys. Enjoy the suffering that's about to come, because we didn't cancel the most important bill, energy.
I appreciate you, Graham.
We've hidden that talent, and God is going to punish you for hiding your one.
Thank you, Graham. I think Graham is on to something when Graham specifically said that the electricity bill. Mm-hmm. There is an issue in a country when your electricity bill becomes the size of what you pay in for a mortgage of your place. That's an issue. How do you pay excessive amounts of monies to the light?
Give me a quick solution so I can go to the caller. Give me a quick solution.
Actual regulations in the market.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Give me an example of what you mean by actual regulations in the market. In this local market.
The fuel providers regulate them properly.
And how aren't they being regulated properly?
First of all, they're charging us too much money for the fuel. I don't care. Don't say nothing to me. They're charging too much money for the whole process of bringing the fuel from here to there. It's too much money. Fuel is one of the most essential services. The most essential services.
In the world.
Regulate the market. That's the first thing. The second thing is stop paying people for not delivering anything.
But remember now, Aaron, we're tied to one particular person.
Yeah, I can't call anybody names.
We didn't call anybody names. That's why it's a particular.
No, but you can run
me. That's what we said.
Yeah, yeah.
The reality of the situation is when you give somebody the monopoly of something in a country like this, that spells what you... That's a different question.
Let's go to the caller. I'm trying to get the caller in. Thank you very much for holding, caller. Can you hear me, caller?
Yes, Neri, I called back, right? For a simple reason, two reasons. One, when the barrel of oil goes down, we don't get a reduction, and that's being indecent to us.
Because they signed a contract that states that they have to buy it at this particular price no matter what's happening.
That's a good thing.
I mean, it's a good thing sometimes. That's not the point. The point is, there you go. We got to go to a break.
Yeah. I'm mad at you. You're doing a good job, man. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. We're having some conversations. And we have our guest host with us, Ian Munnings. And, of course, when Aaron come back, she got to read these texts, man. You don't get the texts.
Let's get them in, Aaron.
Yeah, man. And we'll be right back.
All black up yesterday.
But she say she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what we're waiting on then. Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. We have a joint session with On the Clock with Aaron Green.
Yeah.
And we combined it because we needed 2 hours to hash all these topics out.
Yeah.
And of course, we have our guest host today. It was Ian Munnings. And you know, he came late. But we wanted him to express some of his views, right?
Yeah.
We enjoy when he's there. He's controversial, even for his own political party. So I just find him entertaining. But before we get Ian to talk again, we had some texts that Aaron refused to read. And
I got
to
read these.
Read the text, please.
Okay, never mind. Okay, CA, women always out here saying they want a rough man, a thug. No one can tell those women that they want in their own lives as wrong. Like I say, we sort of getting... Okay, the women are poorly articulating what it is that they actually want, right? Like they want a thing, but they tend to only find this thing with the thuggish man. That doesn't mean that they want all the other things that come with it. They want a
replica of their daddies.
Well, that's a part of it.
They don't know their daddy.
That's the whole point. They want a replica of the man who they looked up as daddy.
They had no daddy.
Dear Texter, I'm going to let Cecil read that text in privacy, not even with his wife. No. DeWitt Shorkin, that wasn't DeWitt. But he's never singing because he's a PLP, so he's safe. DeWitt didn't even call in the show today. Don't talk about DeWitt like that, man. I mean, we know that DeWitt is a unabashed, publicly proclaimed PLP supporter. We know that. He declares his biases. Another text, revenue from carbon credits should be put on special account. 50% goes to pay down our $10 billion debt and the other 50% put in our sovereign wealth fund. Miss Green, y'all woman does lie, but y'all don't want no about y'all don't want no man. Then when y'all realize only man could satisfy you intimately.
I think he's poking at you.
God designed
it. Aaron, I think he's poking at you.
Hold on. No, no, I'm certain he can't be poking at me. That's not what this text
y'all
suggests.
Y'all don't want no man.
Then when y'all decide to get some for listen, first of all, the desire to procreate, you put that in a separate box from sexuality, right? Even people who have all their lives been attracted to the same sex have a desire to procreate, something that only could occur with the person of the opposite sex. We get
living
that.
Or not living, I mean, because I've seen a lot of toys flying off the shelves these
days. No, you can't procreate, though. What I'm saying...
I always wanted a fire truck.
What I'm saying is this. Don't think that sexuality can dampen somebody. Desire to make babies, and then we do what science tells us we have to do the British way. We throw our chins back, drink the tea for country and for God. Another text, Nuri, you have 5 staff to pay minimum wage to, but you will have 500 customers that have more money to spend with you. That is a better deal. Improve your products. This is a point that I wanted to make. Listen. Yes, businesses have to survive. They have to figure out how to survive.
I say increase
the
price.
One of the things... No,
they can't.
They can't increase the price.
No, because customers aren't Ponzi schemes.
That's
we
true.
Aren't
they
a
can't.
Ponzi scheme.
Because, you know, I think they said that the government is going
well,
to...
Well, they're
only selected... Don't, you said 38... Product items. That's it. Not the whole store.
Right.
I just transfer the money to the other rest of
hopefully
items.
Hopefully, this is the beginning.
I don't think you can just do that. Especially,
why not?
No, you just can't. You just
it's
can't.
A free market society.
You just can't just
call, it's called capitalism.
But you just can't do that.
Why not?
Hopefully, this is
they regulate it.
Is progress towards a properly regulated market.
You know how much Aaron is charged for lemonade? How much a mango lemonade costs?
Well, man, you know what it takes.
It's the difference if it's
you
natural.
You know how long it takes to squeeze.
You have to strain that
I gotta
mango.
I got to squeeze every ganep by hand.
So it's a difference because the work that she has to take into that, that's an individual touch.
Cecil, this is a great, this is a great point, right? We look at agriculture, right? Agriculture is turned on its head. We live in a country where beans cost more than meat, where in most countries, poor people is eat beans because they can't afford meat. And so we have farmers that are they're overpricing the produce. The local market is saturated with overpriced produce, right? And I tell farmers often, don't overprice your raw product. That's what value-added products are for. Mm-hmm. When you make something special or particular...
Stop right there. I'm glad you used that word. You said value-added what?
Products.
Okay, they're similar to our VAT. We're charging VAT on imported products when VAT was only applicable.
Okay.
Hold on. VAT was only applicable for things manufactured of natural resources in a country.
We can bring that up on things to be vexed on.
Sorry. Subject. Okay,
right. So when you're talking about how expensive my lemonade costs, sir, I want you to find somebody else in New Providence who's selling Scarlet Plum Passion Fruit Lemonade.
I can't find it, but I'd like to have it.
Yeah, but that's why it can cost you $10, buddy. In particular, that's called capitalism.
Are you purchasing that?
But the way...
Support Aaron on everything.
She said $10 is going to be for
no,
her.
For you.
What's
for you. And tell me what party you vote for. Watch the price go up. But the point is this, is that businesses have within their own means mechanisms to save money. One of the ways they do that is by not putting up the price on the customer, but by reducing the amount of time it takes to do things, right? So I go into this particular place.
So I need some training.
And you can't, there you go. But you can't explain to the people that, listen, you can only serve a finite amount of, you can only serve a finite amount of people in a finite amount of time. You need to maximize that number, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got 8 hours to sell food, then you need to move as many customers through this line as possible. That means you need to speed up. You also need to encourage your customer to speed up. So you need to work on shifting your employee culture and you need to work on shifting your customer culture. And in most instances, it's actually the customer culture that needs to shift the most, because we go into a place saying, well, it's my money and I got to behave how I want to behave.
And the business owner says,
well, look here, it's my business and I can charge you what I want charged.
But hold on, Iron. I've been to establishments. I wouldn't call any name of the establishments, but they're known franchises. You go into the drive-thru, and they change price on you without even having any advisories even to say to you, changing the price.
I went to one fast food place, and from Thursday to Friday, the price changed by 40 cents.
By twice.
And I have a caller. Yeah. I have a caller. Let me patch the caller through. Then we go to finish the text. Caller, can you hear me? Is there anyone? Caller? No, I see it blinking. No? No caller? So, Aaron, let's go back to...
Producer, we can't hear the caller. They gone? I guess so. Okay.
So let's go back to the text so we get all these texts out.
Okay. Great show as usual. Women want a bad man until none of their family members could stop them from beating them. Okay, let's talk about it. We got to do a whole show on this. Mm-hmm. Women want men who could protect them. If you live in a place where there's gang culture, if you live in a place where there's rape culture, you sort of want a man, right, that can go out on the streets and protect you, but then control that rage or emotion or and at home, right? There ain't nothing wrong with that. We not dissing people about that.
And then the culture of the Jamaican song. I think there is a song that says she wants a bad man. So the culture is...
I thought she wanted a gun.
No. I think we are all out of text. Another caller has...
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me there?
Yeah, I didn't finish my comment.
No, Brayman, you can't finish that. We are no longer talking about that. I know it's Cecil Show, Brayman, but we are no longer talking about that.
I'm impressed that Brayman gets through four times.
Brayman has a special number.
I blame Kermit. That's Kermit. No, Kermit said, okay, let me call Brayman and connect him to Cecil Show.
Kermit, no, Brayman is my cooler. Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Now, I don't know, you should know who I am who you're talking to.
Yes, sir.
You're talking to the marathon man, Sam Williams.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you what I did in this country. I'm the gentleman from the Bahamas, Love and Care.
Love and Care.
Went to the government and made sure that sign language come on TV, giving the sign language when people talking.
Thank you.
And I fight for that to make that happen for the deaf people in this country.
Thank you.
They're the people who put them in power. You know, last night I cut the TV on.
Uh-huh.
You know, they had the Prime Minister speaking to the nation.
With no interpreter?
No interpreter. And honey, I was very upset about that.
Yes, as you should be.
Something needed to be done.
Maybe interpreter was sick.
Yeah, no, it don't matter. You got a team of them. And I know this because it's such an important issue.
Yeah, there's no seriously.
That when I was on stage, I created the character of the interpreter, mm-hmm. right, to bring that... to that aspect of our society out there.
But I know Mr. Williams. He did that program in the Grove. I think he lives in the Grove, and he helped a lot of persons in that community.
Right? So I'm trying to see how do we solve it, because clearly
They need help.
The Office of the Prime Minister. I'm sure people are listening, right? But when I leave here, I can try and send a note to the Office of the Prime Minister to indicate that. You may not have noticed it, but the differently abled, the community of people with disabilities realized that that was missing, and don't let it be missing again.
Aaron, I think what this administration have to be guided on is that it takes all of us to make this country what it is. Mm-hmm. It's, to make this a reality in terms of things that we need to be done to make it better, it's going to take all of us. Mm-hmm. So great minds like yourself, Cecil, and Williams and everybody else like that, because they are heroes also. Because from where you stand, the standpoint where you stand, nobody can pay you the amount of money that you do.
Yeah.
But we need a think tank. We need people that are going to be able to think that help our country, to propel our country to the next level.
And with no desire for compensation.
Yeah, and no party. Just made the country better.
And so, you know, the point earlier, Cecil, I made that I missed any mention of human rights in there, and we could see that it wasn't on their agenda at all, right? And so that's one of the definite negative marks.
So perhaps we need to create a list of things the Prime Minister need to address for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's outline it, unless you're sending the Office of the Prime Minister.
Absolutely. So we have got 2 minutes left.
But I have a caller there waiting.
Good morning, caller.
And you have like 30 seconds, caller, but I want to hear what you're saying. Go ahead, caller.
I'm afraid the caller, well.
Go ahead. Nope.
30 seconds, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
It appears we lost you.
Okay.
So my biggest takes from last night's discussions, rule number one, Ian, no more triple barrel name politicians. No more Hubert Alexander anything in government, and no more morticians because they stare death in the face and they end up making money. And I don't understand how they just do that. I can't compete against them in the polls live.
Go ahead, Ian, let's summarize. You have 30 seconds too. About the Prime Minister's speech, anything.
What I would say is that we may be in trouble. I don't know.
I agree with you because the presentation was so good. Presentation was so good. I'm still wondering if I miss anything in my critique.
But bear in mind that the public relations we spoke about, they're starting out, it's an A+. They always have good
reputation. Yeah, man, definitely.
That's an A+. But materializing from that, real tangible things,
I mean, my conclusion, I think I have an extra minute for you too, Aaron, so I can let you say the last word. I just want there be a tour to explain exactly what the Prime Minister said in his national address. There are a number of things that needs to be hashed out, needs to be defined, needs to be put meat on, you know, because I want to have more details about this hospital. I want to have more details about this investment in Grand Bahama. I want to have more details about who they hiring to be extra police officers and defense force officers. But I can let you speak. Go ahead.
No, Aaron. Man, that's your last minute.
I have a last minute.
Yes,
I have 30 more seconds.
Yes, sir.
So I want to have more details about this carbon credit. Exactly who the money going to? Is it going to the Bahamian people or is it going to be reinvested into the environment? Someone needs to explain that.
Because I ready to teeth land to turn it into a pond so I could make me some blue and green carbon credits.
Or is that going to go outside of the country?
Anyway, Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, Aaron Green, and Ian Munnings. Have a wonderful day.